is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As officials assess the damage and prepare for more strong Santa Ana winds this week, people in Southern California want to know how the wildfire started. ABC's Matt Gutman has more from Pacific Palisades.
24 people lost their lives in this fire, and ABC News has learned that the ATF, the federal agency tasked with examining and investigating explosives and arson, is going to take the lead in investigating the Palisades fire, and arson is one of the factors that they are going to investigate. That is Governor Gavin Newsom here has demanded an independent investigation into the water issue, specifically here in the Palisades fire hydrants running dry. He called it deeply disturbing.
Middle East mediators have been making significant progress in Gaza ceasefire talks. As of now, though, there's no imminent breakthrough announcement. The Senate begins hearings this week on President-elect Trump's cabinet picks. Still watching Japan, where a strong earthquake hit the southern part of the country today. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Juneau County Sheriff's Office said Thursday that they have taken triple homicide suspect Virgil Thew into custody. Thew is accused of killing 33-year-old Elizabeth Colba, as well as a 13-year-old girl and a 12-year-old girl in his care. In a post just before 1 p.m. on Thursday, the Sheriff's Office posted that Thew was arrested in Elroy and that the public is not in danger. The FBI and U.S. Marshals helped in the search. New Lisbon police said that they received 172 tips as of Wednesday on Thew's whereabouts. One person is hurt after a propane tank exploded and destroyed a camper. According to Blair Police, the fire happened yesterday morning around 3:50 a.m. just off of Highway 95. Police said that a person living inside the camper was sleeping when a portable heater's propane tank exploded. The person in the camper, a man, was able to get out. He was taken to a hospital and released yesterday. The camper is a total loss, and a second camper nearby was also destroyed. Police said the explosion is not considered to be suspicious. Minnesota DNR officials said that southern Minnesota has been especially hit hard by outbreaks of the bird flu. According to the DNR, hundreds of geese and other birds have been found dead. Officials said that if you see five or more birds that are dead together, to let the DNR know. The DNR said that there has been a surge of bird deaths since December, peaking this month. Species like bald eagles and trumpeter swans are considered especially vulnerable. DNR officials said that people should not feed the birds to help limit the spread of the bird flu. The final formal announcement for the mayoral race in La Crosse took place yesterday. City Council President Chris Kahlo officially launched her bid this week after filing the required paperwork to become one of the four candidates for mayor. She joins Vicky Markison, Ellie McLoon, and Shondell Washington Spivey on the February 18th primary ballot. The top two vote-getters in the primary next month will advance to the April 1st spring election. Whoever wins will replace Mitch Reynolds, who is not seeking re-election.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers surrender to the Eagles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Eagles in Philadelphia 22-10. Keyshawn Nixon fumbling the opening kickoff. Jordan Love threw three interceptions. I asked Packers safety Xavier McKinney how he thought the defense played.
I thought we played well defensively. We just didn't get turnovers. So they had, four? Four. So, I mean, it's going to be tough when it's like that, the ratio is like that. So, yeah.
The Eagles star receiver, A.J. Brown, caught on camera reading a book on the sidelines during the game.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it The Recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. It got a lot of points in there, a lot of mental parts about it. But for me, you know, this game is mental.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Knicks in New York, 140-106. The team returns home. Tomorrow night, they'll host the Kings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is cold out there this morning. The wind chill around 15 below, and we're going to keep that wind chill below zero all day today. Partly cloudy, 11 our high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to 2 below. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 12. We'll get back to 25 by Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood for
done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will look back on the weekend news happenings and also review the Packers game and what lies ahead, if anything. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And
hey. Yeah, it's a cold one.
Well, Calvin, it's only going to get worse, man.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Well, you know, well, it's what we're getting close to the middle of January, right?
Yeah, it's January 13th already.
Okay, man. So, you know, what can we expect, man? I mean, this is what it is. You just have to, put on everything you have and try to make it through. We're in Wisconsin, after all. But anyway, I have a great show lined up for you this morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to be joined by State Attorney General Josh Call. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things. I have a great relationship with the Attorney General. I knew his mother very well. And, he's going through some ups and downs, and like all of us have. And he's done a great job, I think, as the Attorney General. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things. But before we get there, it is a Motown Monday, and you know how that is. We're going to play some Motown music and have a great time with that. But I want to first introduce my guest this morning, Miss Eva Martinez Paulus. She is the former VP of Enrollment and Retention, also the VP of DEI, Title IX Coordinator at MATC. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Hi, good morning. I am doing great. Thanks for the invite.
I am excited to have you in the studio and have a discussion that I think is long overdue, and a discussion that unfortunately is not being presented the way it should be presented in this nation. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I am livid. As my listeners know, a 70-year-old black man who went through the civil rights struggle in this nation, who witnessed some horrific things in this nation, and as a young boy growing up in injustices that took place in the founding of this nation. And diversity, equity, and inclusion and affirmative action were created to address those issues that this nation never has really addressed. And it's frustrating. And let me read a couple sentences before we get to why you're here, Miss Martinez Paulus. And you may not know this, audience, but I know. So I want to make sure you know. Diversity, equity, and inclusion programs have come under attack in boardrooms and state legislatures and college campuses across the country. This is in this was in 2023 when all of this began, the assaults and the attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion. The DEI bills that target programs at colleges have been introduced in 28 states. Again, this is in 2023. And in Congress, according to a tally by the Chronicle of Higher Education, 8 have been signed into law in states like Texas and Florida, where this began. Republican-controlled legislatures and that have been at the root of this. And again, this is 2023 statistics. A 2023 survey by the Pew Research Center found that 52% of employed U.S. adults say they have DEI training or meetings at work, and 33% say they have a designated staff member who promotes DEI. But recently, some companies have slashed teams dedicated to DEI, and wealthy corporate leaders such as Bill Ackman and Elon Musk have made posts on social media that decry diversity programs. Critics say DEI programs are discriminatory. Let me repeat this. Discriminatory, an attempt to solve racial discrimination by disadvantaging other groups, particularly white Americans. But supporters and industry experts insist decades-old practice has been politicized and is widely misunderstood. So with that backdrop, Ms. Eva Martinez Paulus, you have been, again, the VP of Enrollment and Retention at MATC, but you were doing some DEI things at Marquette as well. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. I've been doing actually what I didn't know it was diversity, equity, and inclusion back since 2006 when I started my work in higher education in Milwaukee working at Marquette University. I started working in the Office of Admission, and I soon realized that there were disparities in the way students of color, black and brown students in particular, were applying to colleges and universities. And this is not just at Marquette University, across the nation. The trends of the disparities on access, whether or not students had the resources available to them to be able to get into higher ed and college admission. So back in 2006, I started doing my work. I started working directly to ensure that all students, regardless of race, gender, ethnicity, and sexuality, had access to higher ed. And I worked collectively across the state of Wisconsin with other colleagues to ensure that everyone had access, regardless of background. I also worked at Marquette University in student affairs. So I got to work very closely with our multicultural student organizations. I worked very closely with students from different faiths and backgrounds and different ethnicities and genders. I also work in academics, so I got to see firsthand the experiences, especially of black and brown students in the classroom, in academia, which is not the best, in my opinion, and not just at Marquette University. I also got to see across the nation empirical research on the experiences of students of color in higher education. We know that historically, higher education institutions were not designed to educate black and brown students. They were not designed to educate women in particular as well. Higher education institutions in the United States were designed to educate clergy, white men. And that's a fact. That is not just my opinion. There's tons of research, a lot of historical information out there, and people can view that as well. I also became the director of diversity, equity, and inclusion at Marquette University because we saw the need to improve the experiences of students of color. I do have to give a special shout out to Marquette University because they, back in 2006, they saw the need to ensure that all students had access and equity in admissions, in enrollment, in financial aid, and other aspects of the college campus. I then began to work as a vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion at a public institution at MADC. And of course, coming from a private sector to a public sector is sometimes night and day. However, there are still very similar issues when you look at higher ed in both private and public. I noticed right away at MADC that the diversity was really high in terms of racial diversity and also gender diversity. And of course, when you have a lot more diversity, what I have observed in my professional career going over 20 years of experience working in the Milwaukee area or in the city of Milwaukee, when you have a lot more diversity, sometimes we tend to see a lot more issues and disparities because we know that our higher ed institutions are not yet accessible or equitable. So that's just a little bit about my background. I've been in higher ed for over 17 years, going on 18 years, and working in the city of Milwaukee, in particular with communities of color, for 20 plus years.
So if you're just joining us, my guest is Eva Martinez Paulus, and she is former VP of Enrollment and Retention and VP of DEI Title IX Coordinated MATC, and also held the same kind of title at Marquette University. Now, I guess what you happen to be right now, you file a lawsuit against Milwaukee Area Technical College. For what purpose?
I did. And the purpose is that, and of course, I'm not able to disclose a lot of information, but I do have to say that within the public information that was released by my lawyer, I filed a lawsuit based on discrimination, particularly racial discrimination and violation of Title VII civil rights rights. Title VII includes ethnicity, race, gender, and also retaliation based on those protected categories. I think sometimes when we speak about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and you know the word DEI, sometimes you even say it and people tend to
cringe.
Like DEI. Oh my goodness, I want to stay away from
criminal.
It.
It's criminal.
Yes. What I have learned throughout my career in higher education, working with very diverse communities. And when I say diverse communities, I'm not just talking about people of color. I'm also talking about women. I'm also talking about LGBTQ plus identified individuals. I'm talking about
disabled.
People with
physically,
different faiths.
Mentally, right.
Yes, people with different faiths. I'm talking about single moms. There's a whole gamut of diversity. So when people hear DEI, they tend to just, you know, not want to talk about it or engage. But we must do that because, for example, Title VII, let me backtrack a little bit. When we talk about DEI, a lot of people think that it's just trainings. We go to trainings, they're trying to brainwash us into believing certain things. Let me just tell you that throughout my career, DEI hasn't just been about trainings. DEI is mostly about compliance with the law. In this country, in the United States, we have laws. We have one law that is Title VII Civil Rights
Law. So I want you to hold that thought.
Okay.
My guest is Eva Marie Paulus. She is a former VP of Enrollment, Retention, and DEI Coordinator at MATC. And we're going to have a conversation this morning about DEI, the real conversation about DEI that you haven't heard. 855-752-4842. It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun.
the New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This message is sponsored by WiscCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiscCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiscCaregiver.com.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. A Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Eva Martinez Paulus. She is the VP of former VP of Enrollment and Retention and former VP of DEI and Title IX Coordinator at Milwaukee Area Technical College. So I was asking you, you know, before the break, you've been in this field for a long time. This argument that people were being forced into training for diversity, equity, and inclusion, as if there's something wrong with including all people in a nation that claims to be a nation of immigrants, a nation that prides itself in equal treatment to all who come here, and an extension of what America is supposed to be. America has never lived up to that. And just because of affirmative action and DEI, as you stated, our laws... Let's talk a little bit about that so people understand that.
Yes, absolutely. DEI, again, is more than just trainings. And, of course, we do need to have some trainings because there's still a lot of inappropriate behavior taking place in the workplace, behavior that not only impacts employees, but it also impacts students. I work with both populations, students and employees, and I can't even count the stories and the experiences that I have witnessed, not only firsthand, but also the complaints that come out of inappropriate behavior in the workplace and higher education in general. But again, DEI is more than trainings. It is about the law. It is about compliance. I have spent a lot of time working with human resources offices, offices of general counsel, both at Marquette and MADC, having these conversations, these tough conversations about not only behaviors, but also actions that can potentially violate someone's civil rights. So for example, DEI is about compliance. DEI is about enforcing the Title IX and the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It goes back to the 60s. It goes back to Dr. Martin Luther King and what he fought for. In order for us to be sitting here enjoying this beautiful space. It also goes back to the work of Cesar Chavez and the immigrant farm movement. It goes back to the 60s. In the 60s, a lot of people were being violated, meaning the actions of individuals were really hurting and harming individuals' lives and violating them in many different ways. So DEI is about compliance. Most of my conversations for both populations and students and employees entail talking about making sure that we were following the law as institutions. And those conversations can be tough because everyone has opinions, but at the end of the day, in this country, we have laws and we must abide by those laws. I know that some individuals, some politicians are trying to overturn some of those laws, but let me tell you, there is a very large group of supporters of DEI officers, but also non-DEI officers across the nation. And we are all saying that we are not going back. I am not personally and professionally going to allow any of my students or employees to be violated in any way, shape, or form. I will uphold the law regardless of what I'm being asked to do. I will not allow my children to go to school and be discriminated against just because of the color of the skin. And as long as I am in higher education, I will continue to enforce the law, especially when it comes to our African-American and Black community, which is one of the communities that suffers the most in higher education.
So to hear this argument that DEI discriminates against white people is ridiculous. Number one, If whites are outraged and they feel that they're being discriminated against, imagine if they had to walk a mile in the shoes of the people that they created DEI for. The people in this nation who were not treated equitably and fairly. Had there been fair treatment and equitable treatment, there would be no need for DEI. There would be no need for affirmative action. And yet here it is, well, it's been long enough. What are you talking about it's been long enough? Maybe there's a reason why people want to do away with the history books, right?
Absolutely. And I can just tell you, diversity, equity, and inclusion is for everyone, including white individuals, including white women. I think that there is a misconception in terms of DEI. People automatically assume that it's just for Black and brown people. No, it's not. It's for all of us.
All right. My guest is Eva Martinez Paulus. Again, she is a former VP of Enrollment and Retention and VP of DEI Title IX Coordinator at Milwaukee Area Technical College. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. Your thoughts.
Had a choice of colors. Which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which
Eagle 1490 AM.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man was arrested Friday after two people were hurt in a shooting at a home in Onalaska on Wednesday. According to Onalaska police, a man and a woman were both shot Wednesday morning around 2 a.m. and both had to be taken to a hospital for their injuries. The home they were shot in is across the street from Onalaska Middle School. A 27-year-old man was taken into custody. Two children who were in the home at the time of the shooting were not hurt. The shooter was charged with recklessly endangering safety. President Donald Trump is promising tariffs on imported products from overseas as well as from our neighbors to the north and south once he takes office. How would a tariff on imported oil from Canada affect gas prices in the Midwest? Here's Patrick DeHaan, petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy.
Definitely the Midwest and Rockies. These are the two regions of the country that have long had stable access and pipelines that flow directly down from Canada. And that's why the Great Lakes and Rockies would be much more affected by this tariff potentially than anyone else.
DeHaan says that the increased cost of oil due to the tariffs and the added cost for refining it into fuel would be passed down to consumers here in the Midwest. A home in Onalaska was destroyed by a fire Saturday night. According to the Onalaska Fire Department, a home on Craig Lane East is a total loss after a fire started around 7:30 p.m. Saturday. Onalaska and Holman Fire Departments needed an hour to put out the fire and left the scene after about 3.5 hours. Five people that lived inside of the home were able to get out safely and no one was hurt. Fire officials are still working to figure out what caused the fire, which started in the garage. Expect cold temperatures to last for a couple of days in the Cooley region as cold air settles in. Overnight lows will be below zero in most places. Wind chills could be in the negative teens. A warm-up is due by the end of the week, with temperatures rising to around 40 degrees by Friday, but then another cold spell is due to start at the beginning of next week. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast. And the Board of Public Works meets today to review permits and approve the closure of Main Street for a farmer's market every Friday this May through October. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Audrey Hepburn is considered one of the greatest movie stars of all time. Ariana Grande is just getting started with her big screen career comparatively, but there are rumors that she might play the iconic classic Hollywood Oscar winner in an upcoming biopic. Nothing has been confirmed, but it sounds like the Wicked actress is really interested in such a role, telling Access Hollywood that she has always been enamored with old Hollywood. Speaking of Grande, Wicked was just released on video on demand, and it's no surprise that one of the biggest movies of 2024 is seeing sales through the roof. The film is now available to stream in the U.S. and Canada. Wicked pulled in $26 million on its first day of digital release, according to Variety, and ended up with $70 million after its first week. The nice thing about watching Wicked at home is you will not have strangers standing up and singing along. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is cold out there this morning. The wind chill around 15 below, and we're going to keep that wind chill below zero all day today. Partly cloudy, 11 our high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to 2 below. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 12. We'll get back to 25 by Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is zero.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all. In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday, we'll talk about Wisconsin agricultural tourism. It's a big growing industry with planning underway for this year that includes a big old corn maze challenge.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest is Eva Martinez Paulus. She's a former VP of Enrollment and Retention, VP of DEI and Title IX Coordinator at MATC. She's presently filed a lawsuit against Milwaukee Area Technical College for discriminatory practices. Let's go to the phone lines and Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Yes, good morning, Earl, and your guest. A timely issue, especially in light of last Thursday, the federal judge in Kentucky, Danny Reeves, ruled on the Title IX changes of the previous administration. And, you know, all of our title laws are equally protecting, all people are equally protected from discrimination. And as soon as you favor one people group, you are discriminating. And that's what the Title IX change was. It was to favor, you know, transgender, you know, over the straight students.
I want you to hang on a second, because my guess is more equipped and qualified to tell you about what DEI stands for. She spent 20 years at it, and that's exactly what she was doing at a vice president's level at major universities across this country. Ms. Martinez-Paulus, do you want to respond to what Jim said, because he's in error?
Absolutely. So thank you so much for your phone call. First of all, when it comes to Title IX equally protects everyone. And I think many times we forget that we are all human beings in this country. Once we begin to put people in different boxes and think about what, you know, if we actually discriminate or favor someone, the law doesn't favor anyone. The law is the law. We want to make sure, not we, but in this country, the Title VII rights and Title IX rights, where they are in place to make sure that everyone is protected, regardless of how they identified. I've been in conversations with so many people within higher ed, outside of higher ed, and I can tell you, through DEI, I have also been able to have critical conversations about whether or not we may be discriminating against straight people, whether or not we may be discriminating against white people. But ultimately, the laws are in place to make sure that those who come from marginalized communities are protected, because we know that there has been a lot of violence done throughout history, and this is not just my personal opinion. This has been recorded going back to, you know, many, many years ago. So Title IX is there to protect everyone, regardless of how they identify, regardless of if they are transgender, if they're non-binary, if they are women, straight women, gay men. They're there to protect everyone. And I think at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and that's how we should be seeing each other.
And you know what, Ms. Martinez-Paulus, the first thing he said was LGBTQ. And as if, again, that defines DEI. It's much broader than that, Jim. And so you and others have been led to believe that that's what DEI stands for. You know, trans people going to a girl's bathroom. Jim?
Yes. Would Martinez, is that her name?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, would you agree that part of the administration's change to Title IX included, you know, if a student missed pronoun another person, they could be, even criminally charged for saying the wrong pronoun to another student?
I see. Thank you very much. You want to respond? Thank you very much for the call, Jim. But see, that's where we are.
Yes.
That's what people believe. And that's why they want to do away with, well, they say that that's the reason they want to do away with DEI, but come on, Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. I actually dealt with this particular topic throughout my career when it comes to pronouns and how individuals identified, individuals within the LGBTQ plus community. And I can tell you that for many, it's very difficult to be able to use the proper pronouns. For many, it takes a lot of practice. But if the intention is good to ensure that we see the humanity in those particular individuals, I think that as good human beings, and many of us come from Christianity, Christian faiths, many of us need to at least try to ensure that other individuals are seen and heard. And if someone is asking you to refer to them as they, them, theirs, I think we should honor that request. And of course, you know, many different types of beliefs come into the equation, but I think it's educational. My overall perspective when it comes to this topic of pronouns and using pronouns, whether in the workplace or higher education, is that we need to be able to see it as non-punitive, but more as educational from the beginning. Because for many of us, we haven't been around LGBTQ communities. For many of us, it takes time. We have to train our mind to be able to say the proper pronouns.
No, nor around people of color.
People of
communities.
Color. Exactly. Right. A lot of people haven't been around Black people or LGBT people, and we have to make sure that we are honoring how they identified and their pronouns.
All right. 855-752-4842. My guest is Eva Martinez-Paulus. She is a former VP of Enrollment and Retention and VP of DEI Title IX Coordinated MATC. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl, and your guest. I'm actually on the side that is a proponent to end DEI. Thank you for ending and getting this new administration. It shouldn't be in our military. It shouldn't be forced on people. You shouldn't be allowing biological men to compete with women. And the mere fact Ron DeSantis, the governor, has it right. It's more about discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination.
So, CJ, let me respond to you in this manner. Because, again, you said basically the same thing that the last guy said, and many people who think like you see this through one lens, and you see it through, you know, transgender. You didn't hear what the specialist said about who's included in DEI, right? Women, disabled people, people of color who've been discriminated against in this nation from the inception of the nation. And you and others like you want to throw all that out the window and say that these people who've been discriminated against for centuries, that's not right and it should be thrown out. And I'll tell you what, you're somebody who's benefited because there hasn't been any DEI, because nobody discriminated against you because you were a white male. But everybody else in this nation have had, the outside of white men, have had to deal with discriminatory practices in this nation since its inception. CJ?
So you didn't hang up on me.
No.
Well, the mere fact is that it has discriminated against me. So when...
How?
Man takes the test. When they take a civil service test, they get 10 extra points because of the color of their skin. That's discrimination.
Hey, CJ, do you know that to be a fact? No, you don't. And the second thing is, so what about the black men from 300 years ago who've been discriminated against? And even to this day, CJ, that medicine you don't like, but it's okay to do it to other people?
It's all about discrimination due to race or color. Whether it's white or black, it's wrong.
Hey, CJ, if it was wrong, that's the reason that the federal government created a law to try to correct it because it was wrong for centuries. Don't you understand that?
We saw what you've done to Title IX. It no longer is about women's sports because you want to blur the
definition. Hey, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. And I would just like to applaud, is it Dr. Paulus?
Yes, Dr. Eva Martinez Paulus.
For Dr. Paulus, for her courage and for having the bravery to file the unfair labor lawsuit. I work in the educational field, and I can attest to the fact that there are administrators sitting in those positions who truly should not be in those positions. They are not qualified and to sit in those positions. While you were talking to CJ, I read the article of the lawsuit that announced the lawsuit. And I just find it amazing that all of a sudden, Dr. Paulus, according to the college, she was insubordinate, unprofessional, and disrespectful in terms of her conduct. And that was the reason for her termination. All of the other years, discount those, but we have supposedly this incident of her, not performing up to her job performance. And all I can say is that I've been in this field, and one thing that I do believe that needs to happen is the Title IX coordinator, the law has to change in order to hold these institutions accountable. And Earl, do I have a moment to make another quick point?
Go ahead.
Yeah. As I said, I work in, and I don't want to mention the institution. In my institution, I noticed that all of the administrative leaders in my chain of authority, they were all white females. And I brought this to the attention of the Title IX coordinator, and I said, is this something that should happen? I said, surely you can't tell me that the only people who are qualified for administrative leadership position are white females. And the Title IX coordinator says, I have no authority to act. So hopefully Dr. Paulus can speak on that. Sure.
Hey, Cassandra, I wish we had more time, but, I'm going to bring Dr. Paulus back, as many times as we have to because the discussion is too important, and it can't end in 1 hour. So 855-752-4842, we'll give her a chance to respond on the other side. Phone lines are open again, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll continue the discussion.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. 693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
All right, welcome back to the Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And I'm really excited about having my guest, Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus, on the air. And we're going to bring her back again and again and again to address, you know, what has happened in this nation with these rulings that, you want to talk about discriminatory to a certain group of people when a nation that's been discriminatory from its inception to just many different people in this nation, is just not right. And so Dr. Martinez-Paulus, you heard Cassandra, and she was saying that all white women who've benefited from affirmative action more than anybody. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I think this goes back to the narrative that DEI only benefits people of color. No, it doesn't. It benefits everyone, including white women. We cannot forget about the women's movement, also back in the 60s. We cannot forget that women have benefited, especially white women have benefited the most from DEI.
And affirmative action.
And affirmative action. And yet, we're still sitting here thinking about black and brown people and DEI to move beyond this perception that DEI is bad for white people. I think that in this country, we are all equal and we are all humans. And we need to have some common ground because there are major challenges impacting this country. And we need to be unified in this struggle. Forget about your personal uneducated opinions. You need to be educated and you need to be informed. And please, please, I ask everyone listening today, read about not only DEI, but read about discrimination and read about who has benefited the most in this country, because people are still being harmed and people are still suffering today. And when I say people, I mean mainly black and brown and Native Americans. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Jim from Brookfield. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
I say good morning, Earl. Dr. Polis, thank you for a very good topic. Happy Motown Monday. I just want to say it's very disappointing hearing those first two callers because, obviously, it's misinformation. They have been totally misinformed by the powers that be who have benefited the most from white privilege all their life, so they're afraid of DEI, knowing that maybe it might level the field a little bit. You know, so people that have benefited all their life from an unfair playing field, you know, that's to their advantage, white privilege, you know, they're very terrified. So they get this misinformation out there, and they're very good at getting misinformation out. Because you look at what DEI is, I mean, just on its face, it's just, you know, it's trying to establish a diverse, equal,
yes,
and inclusive workforce, workforce and life, you know, a world. What is wrong with that? And so, but however, you get these misinformation totally wrong that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be criminally charged if I call somebody the wrong pronoun. Or if I take a civil service exam, somebody else is going to get 20 extra points. I mean, or 10 extra points, whatever. Misinformation, all it's trying to establish is a level playing field for everybody. And it's more than apparent that those who have benefited their whole lives from a non-DEI system, that they're afraid and they're getting misinformation out there.
Hey, Jim, thank you, man. You know, it's always better when it comes from, you know, somebody who's you know, not from a different color. You spoke the truth. And so we applaud you for that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I think in this struggle, we need our white allies to stand,
yes,
with us.
We have some.
Yes.
Yes.
And we need them to continue to spread the word that we want equal rights for everyone, including white people.
So, you know, Ms. Martinez-Paulus, it's unfortunate that we've come to the end of today, but I'm going to be calling you back. This is, yep, this is ripe for discussion. Right?
Yes, it is.
It's ripe for discussion. So we're going to check our calendars. We're not going to let any time get by before we come back with the second conversation about this, because we have to get, because this is not going to benefit the majority of the people in this country. Right? Mm-hmm. It's for all of us. You know, Dr. King's holiday is Monday. And he fought for equity and inclusion. He gave his life.
Yes.
And so we got to remember that. So I want to thank Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus. Stay tuned. We'll have her back real soon. Up next, Wisconsin State Attorney General Josh Call will be joining us on the Earl Ingram Show.
Now listen, if you see something you want and you know you can't afford, start saving Georgia. The Joneses have been the downfall of many person you see. So people, take my advice and let the Joneses in me. Don't let the Joneses,
don't let the Joneses,
don't let the Joneses get you down.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will join us. Are Republicans really planning $5 trillion in spending offsets to Medicare and the ACA to fund tax cuts for the rich? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The toll of the California wildfires growing as more people are being found after being reported missing. ABC's Alex Stone is in Los Angeles with the latest.
The number of victims killed in these wildfires is now up to 24, 16 on the Eaton Fire and 8 on the Palisades Fire. In many cases, the victims were elderly or disabled, and they could not get out of their homes in time as the flames came racing through last week. At least 16 people are missing, mostly from the Eaton Fire.
The Eaton Fire is the one that consumed Altadena. The Santa Ana winds expected to pick up again between now and Wednesday. Red flag fire warnings up for the next 3 days. Some of President-elect Trump's nominees are gearing up to face lawmakers on Capitol Hill this week. 14 confirmation hearings are scheduled starting tomorrow. President Biden will speak this afternoon on his foreign policy record over the past 4 years, and Donald Trump will be sworn in 1 week from today. This is ABC News.
You can always